What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. I'll be your host, and as we continue to grow, I'll have friends joining me each week to interview some of the leading experts in the fields of motivational speaking, mental health, ministry, and even sports. Our goal is to instill hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today, and our prayer is that after each episode, you'd be more equipped and encouraged to look, love, and live more like Christ from the inside out. That's our definition of what it means to be built different. So I hope you're ready. You better buckle up. Let's roll. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. You guys, can you believe that we are already a third of the way through 2023? I mean, April has come and gone. It is absolutely insane to think about how fast this year is already going. As my dad would always tell me growing up, buckle up, bud, because these moments will come and go. Don't miss them. What I want and my prayer for you guys really at the beginning of this episode is that God would have just blessed you with so many incredible moments and memories throughout 2023, but that as we continually embark on the what the rest of this year has in store for us, that we wouldn't miss our moments. You guys, that being said, if we're a third of the way through 2023, that means that we have just entered into the month of May, which is a very special month. It's one that's very near and dear to my heart. For many of you that maybe don't know, May is also known as, or better known as, Mental Health Awareness Month. You know, I have the incredible opportunity of serving as the vice president here at the American Association of Christian Counselors. I also have the opportunity of being a licensed resident counselor here in the state of Virginia, where I get to walk alongside of countless individuals as they navigate some of the complexities within this journey we call life. And so, you know, not only for myself, but also for my family and everyone I have the opportunity of working with, mental health and mental health providers and mental health care all have a very near and dear place in our hearts. And so for those of you that provide care, I just wanted to thank you personally. This is a month that we want to recognize you. But also for those of you that are going through some difficult times in life, my prayer is that you would understand that there are people out there. I know you've been hurt in relationships. I know maybe you've been wounded. You've developed this pattern of pulling away, but there are people out there that really care about you and that want to help and that want to invest and really be able to influence your life for the better. Find those people, seek out those people, and don't be afraid to ask for help. You guys, as it's Mental Health Awareness Month, like I've done in years past, what I wanted this entire month of May, all the episodes, the next 5 or 6 weeks, I wanted them all to be related to a mental health awareness series where I've asked several of the leading experts in the terms of mental and emotional health to come alongside of me for conversations that will really be able to shed a light and shed some awareness, not only to the complexities, the difficulties, the traumas, just the challenges that we face in our day and age, but also to help encourage us and to equip us with some very practical and simple tips and techniques that we can begin implementing and replacing some of the negative ways or patterns we've developed over time with some positive ways that are more adaptive, some cognitive restructuring, just different things that we can begin doing to really increase our mental and emotional health and hygiene. You guys know, the last several years have been absolutely crazy in our country and society and really all around the world. I mean, what we always say around here, my dad specifically always says that, you know, we were in a mental health crisis pre-COVID-19. But then when COVID-19 kind of kicked it off, and then all of a sudden you saw this snowball effect where everything kind of turned to chaos. We have gone from a mental health crisis to an absolute mental health disaster. I mean, listen to some of these statistics for a second. This is pre-COVID-19. So this is about 3 or 4 years ago. 1 in 5, 20% of U.S. adults experienced mental illness in a given year, and yet only half received treatment. That number has gone up. How about this? 1/2 or 50% of all chronic mental illness begins by the age of 14, 3/4 or 75% by the age of 24. How about this one? 1 in 12 or 8.5% of U.S. adults had a substance use disorder. And then from 1999 to 2017, the suicide rate increased 33% in the United States. It says then came COVID-19. And I want you to listen to some of these numbers now. Data from the Census Bureau shows that 33% of Americans are exhibiting signs of clinical depression or anxiety. That's 1 in 3 people, my friends. Next, the Kaiser Family Foundation poll revealed that 45% of American adults reported a negative impact on their mental health due to stress and worry over the last 3 to 4 years. That's crazy. How about this one? In a survey from the CDC, 40% of U.S. adults reported struggling with mental health or substance abuse. And of that 40%, 31% have anxiety or depressive symptoms, 13% have started or increased substance abuse, 26% have trauma or stressor-related disorder symptoms, and a staggering 11% have seriously considered suicide. I was just recently at a mental health collective with several mental health leaders and experts in the field. And as we were down there, we were kind of gathering just to figure out some ways in which we could, you know, really come alongside of one another with some collaborative efforts to really tackle all of the just the horrific things that are going on in our culture and society to help people that are struggling with mental and physical and emotional and even spiritual, like health and well-being. How can we come alongside of them and serve them better? And I remember Dr. Carl Benzio, he got up there and he shared, and this is just the truth. He said, you know, at the end of the day, the CDC wants us to believe that the three leading causes of death are the three big C's. He said cardiovascular, cancer, and COVID. But he said that's just the furthest thing from the truth. When you look at the actual details of it, when you look at the actual statistics, the three leading causes of death in our country and in our world today, you listen to this for a second. The three leading causes, number one, addiction, number two, suicide, and number three are abortion. He went on to say something, you know, we've been talking a lot about, and something that's evident, that we're in some serious unprecedented times, right? The culture's loud. The pain and struggle are real. People are broken. And he went on to say, the reason is because truth is dying. And it's easy to feel lost. It's easy to feel overlooked, to get discouraged, and to lose sight of all that God has done time and time again. But then I got to ask you, what voice are you choosing to listen to, my friends? My prayer is that in and throughout the next couple of weeks, as we navigate this mental health awareness series together, that you would be encouraged, that you would be enlightened, that you would be equipped with just some practical things that you could begin doing, not only to increase and boost your personal mental and emotional health, but also to come alongside of people and to really bear or to become a source of hope for others to look to as well. My friends, we are not the ones that provide the change in this world. We're not the ones that provide people with strength. Only the Lord does that. And my prayer is that every opportunity I have to just be able to interact with and impact and influence somebody, that I would just be able to point them back to Him, the ultimate source of change, of comfort, of hope, because hope is a person. You guys, today we're going to have an incredible guest, someone who lives up to the term mental health expert in the field. He is a licensed professional counselor. He's a well-known speaker, a teacher, an incredible author, and he is a very near and dear personal friend of mine. His name is Dr. Mark Mayfield. Dr. Mark Mayfield, he's also an executive leadership coach. He helps churches and organizations navigate the complexities of their mental and emotional health. Clinically, he's an expert in working with families affected by trauma. He's an assistant professor of clinical mental health counseling at Colorado Christian University, and he also partners with us here at the AACC as the director of practice and ministry development, as well as the editor of our Marriage and Family Christian Journal. You guys, he is just somebody that has just such an incredible love and passion for walking alongside of other people. And today we're going to be diving into his brand new book that is releasing next week, May 9th, titled The Path to Wholeness: Managing Emotions, Finding Healing, and Becoming Our Best Selves. You guys, I hope you enjoy this incredible conversation. So without further ado, let me introduce you to my friend, Dr. Mark Mayfield. Dr. Mark Mayfield, thank you so much for joining us today, sir.
Yeah, Zach, it's always fun to be with you.
It definitely is a blast and just a pleasure of mine getting the opportunity, as always, just to glean from your wisdom and knowledge, sir. You know, something that is very exciting right here for our podcast is that we're embarking on this mental health awareness series. As many of you know, I know you know, sir, that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so it's definitely something that's near and dear to my heart. I wanted to touch on a lot of topics with a lot of experts just like yourself in the weeks to come. So I'm excited about this. This is our very first one. We'll be diving into a very important topic and an incredible resource that you're going to be launching here next week. We'll get into that in a second. But Dr. Mark, you know, as we begin, something we've chatted about, my dad always states it, we talk about it a lot here at AACC, I've mentioned even several times on the podcast, is that, you know, pre-COVID-19, we already had challenges and difficulties. We were in a mental health crisis. But even since then, I mean, things have just escalated to the point now that we really find ourselves in a mental health disaster. Things like anxiety, depression, addiction, even suicidality now, all on the rise, continuing to skyrocket. Our country is broken. We're in kind of a bit of a mess, as many can kind of just see just by turning on the news or looking at social media outlets. But sir, with the challenge and difficulties, there also comes a great room for opportunity for growth and development as well. So Dr. Mark, you being someone who's on the front lines of the mental health field, what are you seeing out there? What are some of the challenges that people are facing the most? But also, what are you encouraged by?
Well, so it's kind of, I love that question because it's kind of a catch 22. I was been speaking this week at a couple different churches, and we're talking about kind of the trends. You know, 5-10 years ago, you'd be, you know, twisting arms to get people to show up to any kind of mental health talk.
Right.
Right. It doesn't bother me. It's not affecting me. Whether I'm putting my ears, you know, fingers in my ears and ignoring it, or really they didn't think it affected them. Now we're seeing, especially amongst our teenagers, that you're not in the in crowd if you don't have a mental health diagnosis and a therapist.
Literally. Yeah.
Right. So like we've got this big, kind of pendulum swing spectrum, and I'd rather be on this side, right? Yeah. I'd rather be in everybody's like, well, yeah, our kids don't need to be talking about the fact that everybody's got a diagnosis. I'm like, well, let's look at it from a good perspective. They're talking about it. They want to identify with something, and they're choosing to identify with anxiety or depression or, you know, fill in the blank. And so I think it's an opportunity for us to come in as experts, as caregivers, as parents, as pastors, as leaders to go, okay, so like, what does anxiety mean to you? You say that you have anxiety. What does that look like? What does it mean? Mm. And really enter into that relationship. So I think there's a lot more opportunity now for conversation than there was maybe even 5-10 years ago. So yeah. I think, you know, we've said this a lot, that I think COVID was kind of the great equalizer, the great reset in a lot of ways. And I'm even seeing that in this. And it does. I mean, at times it drives me crazy. Like, no, you're not bipolar. Like, yeah. You're having a bad day, and, you know, and you're struggling with some sadness and fear and disappointment. And so I think what it does is it allows us to open up a deeper conversation around mental and emotional health versus trying to break down the barriers. So I have, before COVID, I would maybe have 40 or 50 people show up to a talk that was, as I was invited in to speak. Now we don't have less than 250,
right?
You know, because people are just going, okay, this is something that we need to talk about. So I think, you know, if we're looking at glass half full, that's what I would say, is that it's opened up the door for conversation.
I couldn't agree more, sir. You know, I heard someone say the other day that the culture and society that we live in now is probably the least stigmatized toward mental health that it's ever been before.
Yes.
And even within the church, you know, many people are saying that mental health is kind of the topic that's going to be the center of the church for the next 5 to 10 years moving forward, especially since, you know, all the chaos and the crisis of the last 3 to 4 years. So I couldn't agree more with you, sir. And, you know, we were blessed over a year ago now. How crazy is it that time goes by that fast, that we had you here on the podcast and we actually went over your previous book that you released, The Path Out of Loneliness. You shared just your incredibly impactful and powerful testimony of some of the brokenness, some of the difficult times you faced in your own personal life. And, you know, sir, for the listener out there listening today that maybe didn't get the chance to go back and hear that, they don't know that much about you, what you've gone through that has really kind of shaped the person and the people helper that you are today, what would you share with us by giving us kind of a brief synopsis of your testimony of just how your pain was turned into purpose?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good question. I think it's morphed over the years, where I think early on in my kind of restoration story, I would identify with being someone diagnosed with anxiety and depression, where now I just look at it as kind of a part of something I wrestle with, but it's not my identity. And I think it's a clear distinction that I want to make, especially with people that are kind of wrestling with kind of life issues right now. We don't have to make those our identity. Our identity is actually in Christ, but it's something that we wrestle with. And so I know I wrestle with anxiety. I'm prone to it based on my own story of, you know, being a misunderstood middle schooler, not only at school, but at home. You know, I'm a very sensitive kid, very emotionally expressive, awkward. And kids in school were very unkind towards that, you know, bullied, made fun of, beat up on a regular basis that drove me to some very significant somatic symptoms. And my parents dove in trying to figure out what was going on with my physiology, but it wasn't my physiology, it was my psychological frameworks that were struggling. And after a suicide attempt, ended up getting plugged into some Christian counseling with my parents and really beginning the healing journey of recognizing that how I was and saw the world was actually a gift, not a curse, and how to draw that out. And develop purpose and identity from that. And so, you know, obviously we are driven to do what we do, I think a lot of times, if we're listening, based on our stories. And so as much as I say I don't do youth ministry, I still do youth ministry, and just, you know, just different, right? And a lot of it's born out of, I don't want anybody and everybody to feel like I felt in those moments. And so a lot of what I do and what I speak on, what I write about is based on that desire to create awareness and understanding.
What I appreciate so much about you is just your openness and your authenticity and sharing your story with such vulnerability and really helping people understand that maybe your pain and the brokenness that you experience and walk through in life really help shape kind of the trajectory of the future that you're now walking in. And like you said, your pain wasn't just like about you. You got this perspective that now you want to help, right? Other people who are experiencing similar pain that maybe you had gone through and walked through yourself. And so that's always encouraging to me to hear people like you that have such a passion now and a purpose for instilling some of the things that they've learned throughout life into the next generation. And I know you have this incredible new resource, which is something I'm super excited about that I want to start diving into here, because really, I think what some of the lessons you've learned in this Path to Wholeness, which is your new book that's coming out next week titled The Path to Wholeness, Managing Emotions, Finding Healing, and Becoming Our Best Selves. These are some of the lessons that you probably learned, sir, throughout some of the most difficult times of your life. So just up front, Dr. Mayfield, what's at the heart of this book, and what do you want every listener today to hear about what they can expect to get in and throughout its pages?
Well, I think the biggest thing is this: emotions are neither bad nor good. They just are. And I think as a society, we try to create labels to make ourselves feel more comfortable. And so if we say these are good emotions, and maybe we don't say other emotions are bad, but we, by saying something is good, we're assuming that everything else is bad.
Right.
And so what that does is that creates models in our mind about what emotions we want to have and what emotions we don't want to have. Here's the deal. Emotions are neutral. They're indicators. They are like the check engine light on our car. They're pointing to something that is not maybe working the way it needs to, or it's pointing to something that we can celebrate, but it's not good or bad. And I think if we take that out of our vocabulary, now we're more apt to sit with some of these things. But I talk about in the book, I talk about a couple different things. There's differences between emotions and feelings.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we don't realize that. Emotions are the physiological reaction to an external or internal stimuli. Simply, it's our body's way of going, something is going on inside me or outside me that's causing me to respond. Feelings then are the constructs and the meaning making that we make from those emotional experiences. And those feelings then, those constructs, those meaning making pieces are typically developed based on our observations and our experiences growing up and presently. So I think a recent study showed that around 90% of our population can only name the big five: mad, sad, glad, fear, and disgust.
Right.
You and I both know that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of emotional experiences, but most of us don't have language.
Right.
So if we don't have language to put to it, now we're not going to experience what's going on, and it turns into anger, it turns into depression, it turns into fear, you know, one of the major five. but there's so much richness in diving into the emotional expressions. And so what I do is I really take the reader through kind of a reflective piece of where have we come from? Why, how did we get here? What are our kind of go-to responses? And then I make it really practical. I actually had to wrestle with the powers that be on this book. I wanted it to be short for a reason. I wanted it to be shorter so people could pick it up and read it that typically don't read books.
Yeah.
To go, this is something I can get through. And then there's some really practical, like, do these things and you'll see results type of exercises in it as well. So that we can't have emotional intelligence unless we have emotional language.
Right.
No, that's good. That's good that you're talking about that emotional language, right? Emotional awareness, emotional intelligence. These are all things that are kind of often talked about, but a lot of times people don't, they're not equipped in understanding, like you said, even just the vocabulary of emotions in the first place. Right. And I love what you do and throughout this book and this very valuable resource is that you take this deep dive into understanding the difference between, like you said, emotions and feelings, but you really highlight kind of the detriment of what unexpressed or suppressed emotions, right, can do to an individual. Whereas on the contrary, what also, like, when we take the time to discuss then the benefit that comes when we embrace, when we experience, and when we express those emotions as well. I kind of broke it down into those three E's, right? Mm-hmm. Embrace, experience, express. So Dr. Makefield, why are emotions so important, number one, but also why do you believe unexpressed emotions can take such a serious toll on an individual's well-being?
Well, I mean, let's be as honest as I possibly can be. The emotions are important because it's a reflection of the Trinity.
Hmm.
Like mind, body, and spirit, how we are designed is a reflection of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And I think that when we don't sit with those and tap into those emotional experiences, we actually lose, I think, the vitality that was meant to have here on this earth. And how we experience the world and relationships and ourselves. And I think we either sometimes have a misguided theology around emotions. Yeah. And we also just have a society, especially in our Western culture, that says, like, deal with it, get over it, move through, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Don't cry. Why, you know, crying is weakness. Asking for help, you know, don't. And it's like, no, those are things that we are missing out on in the richness of experiences. Mm. And so when we miss out on those things, a quote that I love by Yogi Vasudev says that the mind remembers only certain things. The body remembers everything.
Mm.
The information it carries goes back to the beginning of our existence. Well, we know as therapists that the body remembers everything. Our cells have better memory sometimes than our actual memory does.
Yeah.
And so when we are avoiding numbing, our emotions, what we're doing is we're suppressing those into our body, and our cells are going to respond. Our cortisol receptors, our cortisol dump, our adrenal gland, our adrenal fatigue, all those things will happen in consecutive dominoes that lead to a weakened immune system that then make an open pathway, as we call it, to disease.
Right.
And so, show me somebody that has significant health issues, and we can probably trace it back to significant emotional issues that haven't been dealt with.
Mm. Super fascinating just hearing, you know, the intricacy in the way that God designed us and created us when it comes to, like you said, body, mind, and spirit, and the connection between all three of those. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of emotions naturally. I've heard it said that they're almost like invitations from God, right? Mm-hmm. Or that truly what they really are, indicators for us to be able to realize that this is a place right here in our personal lives that God wants to walk alongside of us through in order to provide us with the healing that we so desperately seek. And so that to me has always been so encouraging in understanding that my emotions, like, yes, they really are significant. They do matter. And it is something that I need to be able to work through and process. And so that being said, Dr. Mark, what are just some helpful and practical tips and tactics that maybe you even mention in your book, The Path to Wholeness, that you believe will help and allow our listeners to become more attuned to their emotions, which will then only catapult them into starting this journey toward emotional wholeness and wellness?
Yeah, I think one, we have to reflect. Mm. And I think we have to, we can't figure out where we're going if we don't know where we've come from. And so I think we've got to reflect on kind of our models, our histories, our experiences, not with judgment or shame, just like, how do we get here? Where are we? And then with intentionality, move forward. And I tried my best to make the book something that you can do in a group and relationship, because there's questions at the end of each chapter to reflect on and that kind of stuff. But then on the third part of the book, I really do talk a lot about practical tools and two things that I've created. One is the emotions worksheet. And the emotions worksheet is something that you can work through where you dive into your emotional experiences through the five senses. And so I ask a series of questions and you take down, let's say anger is your major go-to, and you know that about yourself and you're working on it. Well, anger, we know, is a mix of typically fear, disappointment, sadness, frustration. And it's not actual anger, but it's a second, you know, anger is a secondary emotion. Well, we wouldn't know that if we didn't work through it. So the emotions worksheet is a step-by-step process to work through that through the lens of the five senses. And don't do it in a sitting. It's going to take some time. But the other thing that I stumbled upon a couple of years ago with a couple of clients is this idea of becoming old friends with our emotions. Somebody asked me today in a training, you know, what is anxiety? And I said, anxiety is going to be unique to each of us, you know, in our own experiences. But I said, I'm not afraid of my anxiety anymore because I've become old friends with it. And I know, you know, how long it's going to stay around. I know what its warning signs are. I know when it shows up. I know how to treat it when it's in my presence. You know, go get myself a washcloth and close the blinds and lie down with a weighted blanket for 30 minutes. Put some music on. I know that if I don't do that, I know what happens next. And, you know, but I also know its intensity and duration. Well, I wouldn't know that if I hadn't become old friends with it. So it's not something that I'm desperately trying to run away from. It's something that I'm going, oh, well, hello. I wonder why you're here. Let's figure that out and let's sit with it and then let it run its course and then go about our day. But we wouldn't know that if we didn't work through. So there's an exercise in the book called Becoming Old Friends that really walks you through the process of that and personifying, externalizing the emotional experiences. And typically we don't talk about emotions unless they are difficult.
Right.
And I have found, I don't know about you, but I have found that sometimes the most difficult emotions for me are the ones that are celebratory and that are good.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's so fascinating. I really enjoy that idea of becoming old friends, right? Like these emotions, these things that you have to work through, they don't need to be strangers or things that you're trying to run from. Really, they should be things that you're trying to get to know and better understand. So like you said, you're able to understand like what are the physiological like effects? What are my signs, my triggers? I understand those things. I understand how to treat them, what to do when they do come around. It makes complete sense. And that's just a really good way of putting it. I've never thought of it that way, but I'm going to steal that from you.
It's yours. Go for it. I love
it. Dr. Mark, you know, for the mental health professional out there who's listening today, what are some of maybe just the clinical insights that you've gleaned over the years related to emotional intelligence or even emotion regulation that might help the seasoned professional develop a better understanding to refine their work and maybe further connect with those they have the opportunity of walking alongside of?
I mean, I think it's real simple. Don't stop being aware of your own stuff. And don't stop working on yourself. I think a lot of times we get to a place of plateau or that we've arrived. And I don't think we've ever arrived. We have to continue to grow and learn. And so as I was writing this book, it really challenged me to go, okay, there's still a lot that I need to learn around my emotions. And, you know, I was, like I said this already, but, you know, I'm talking to a bunch of individuals that even this week, there's this emotional intelligence fad. Well, I think it's good, but like I said, if we don't have emotional experience and language, we can't be emotionally intelligent. And so my challenge to us as therapists are, what about our emotional experiences have we not spent some time looking at? I talk about reflexes. I think we all have emotional reflexes. What are our emotional reflexes? Are they beneficial or detrimental? And how do we adjust those? I don't know. I think just an encouragement to be introspective is my best advice, because we don't recognize how powerful our own process is to those we sit with.
Mm. so good to think about, and knowing, like you said, the introspective piece and just really understanding that we can't give what we don't already have. We really can't model what we really haven't worked through and displayed in that way. So I like that idea of just being able to continually develop and engage in that process of just our own emotional regulation, our own emotional language, and so on and so forth, to then reflect that and be able to model that and display that with those we have the opportunity of sitting alongside of and journeying through life with. One of the hardest things, though, Dr. Mark, I wrote this down, is just this idea. I think so many people struggle in this path to wholeness or wellness is understanding that culture and society, what we do a really good job of is promoting this idea of hiddenness, right? Which can make us almost fall into this fear or shame. And we begin believing that our brokenness is like embarrassing or it's humiliating. And then, of course, you know, this idea then makes people believe they're strong enough or that they're expected to fight through some of life's biggest challenges and difficulties alone by themselves. In isolation. You talk about loneliness in your last book. I know that's something that's very near and dear to your heart. And one thing that I do understand as a counselor, a lot of people, the reason they pull away from relationship, the reason they try to do things alone is because they've been hurt. They've been wounded in relationships in the past. But Dr. Mark, what would you share with somebody listening today as we are beginning this mental health awareness series about the importance of seeking and asking for help?
So the desire of everybody is to be seen and to be known and to be loved, right? And I think that we can all agree that that's the deepest desire of our hearts.
Yeah.
In our struggles, in our nakedness, in our, you know, in the rawness of what it means to be human. But I think my thought around that, I've been kind of chewing on this recently, is that we cannot be fully loved unless we're fully seen. And so to encourage people to find safe risks to step into. Obviously, all of us have been hurt in one way or another by relationships. And what I've learned in my own life, and I'll make this personal, is that I haven't been as shrewd or as wise when choosing who I'm going to try to be open and seen by. And so I think a lot of times we have to go back and learn from our mistakes and go, okay, there were some red flags with that person. I shouldn't have been that open or that vulnerable. So this next time I'm going to take it a little bit slower, but it's going to be a process. You know, and there, it is a risk and it is exhausting at times, but it's, if we're aware of our own stuff and we have this desire to be seen, to be known, to be valued, to be loved, maybe the best place to start is through a paid friend or the counselor. Finding a counselor or a spiritual director that can walk with you might be the best place to start.
Such a powerful quote that you mentioned. We cannot be fully loved until we are fully seen. And, you know, I think a lot of people, like you said, emotions, we try to hide them. We try to put them on the back burner, right? We view them as weakness. We view vulnerability as weakness, so on and so forth. But what I always tell some of the people that step in, right, courageously step into my office in a counseling session, and they come in there, I'm like, this is one of the strongest things that you could really exemplify to me. Like, I don't view this as weakness. This, to me, is strength, because you are taken off the mask, right? You've really rid yourself of the smile. You've come with all of your brokenness and your burdens and your mess, and now you're willing to put yourself out there to say, hey, I need help. And to me, that's like the greatest form of strength. I don't care how much weight you can throw up on a bar or anything like that, what culture and society views as strength. That, to me, living in authenticity, like you said, ridding yourself of the facade, of the mask, and being able to be fully seen so that way you can receive and be fully loved. Such a powerful thing. One of my favorite names for the Lord is Elroi, or Elroi, as some people would say if they don't understand how to pronounce it properly. But Elroi, what it really means is the God who sees us, right, in the midst of our shame. And so that's a beautiful thing, knowing that God loves us. He knows all of our mistakes before we even make them. He knows our past, yet he still sent his son to die on a cross, a substitutionary death in our place. Like, that is a love that is unfathomable. Understanding that he chose love for us, even knowing that we may not choose to love him back. That's a love that we can't even, you know, fathom. That's unconditional and agape. But sir, as we close it out, man, I could sit here with you all day and just glean from your knowledge and the wisdom that you always instill within me, and I so appreciate it. But what we always love to do, as you know, here on the Built Different podcast, is we love to just leave the door open for our guests to really share a word of hope, encouragement, and motivation for our listeners today. And I guess where I would kind of ask you for a departing word here is, where does God fit into all of this, Dr. Martin? When we talk about the path to wholeness, I think of a quote naturally, which is that our purpose is found in our oneness with God. So if it's found and rooted and anchored in a relationship with Christ, sir, what is kind of just the pressing word that you want to add there to our listeners as we depart today?
That's a good question. Something that's been in my heart is, I think that we've been talking in our church circles and culture that revival is coming. We've seen it happen at Ashbury and different places. I actually think revival is going to come through those of us that are working in the mental health field because of the desire for people that are seeking truth and they're seeking hope and they're seeking health. And so I think we're on the precipice. For those that are listening, that are in ministry, that are in counseling, that are sitting with people, it's going to come in the explosion of people recognizing that they could have better, it could be different, it could be better. And we know that as we begin that self-discovery journey, that it leads to the one true God. And so I'm excited. Yeah. It's not going to be easy, but I'm excited to see what these next couple of years hold because I think people are hungry for health. They're hungry for wholeness. They're hungry for truth more so than I've seen in a very long time. And so I'm really excited to see what the Holy Spirit does.
I love that last word, sir. I believe just like you that God loves to use people through which he channels his messages of hope, encouragement, you know, love and appreciation to all those that we have the opportunity of impacting and really influencing in and throughout this lifetime. Dr. Mark Mayfield, where can our guests, our listeners, where can they go to purchase your new book, but also to find out more about you and all that you're doing?
Yeah. Barnes & Noble, Amazon. There's always these lovely algorithms, as you know, with books, you know, so don't all go to Amazon, don't all go to Barnes & Noble, but go to both and allow it to get it from there. You can also go to the website of the NAV Press and Tyndale House, the publishers. But you can also check my website out at drmayfield.com and follow me on Instagram or Facebook at the Dr. Mayfield. So, but my thought is, don't do this book alone. Read it with somebody and go through it together.
DrMayfield.com. Again, you guys want to be purchasing that book. It releases next week. Is that correct?
May 9th.
May 9th, it releases for sure in the stores, but you can pre-purchase it right now. It's The Path to Wholeness, Managing Emotions, Finding Healing, and Becoming Our Best Selves. Dr. Mark Mayfield, I can't thank you enough for all the incredible work that you're doing, not only in our country, but for countless just lives and individuals. Thank you for the impact and influence you've had on my life personally. I appreciate you, sir.
Yep, thanks, Zach.
Thank you. Man, you guys, I don't know about you, but my prayer is that you are encouraged by some of the incredible insight that Dr. Mayfield shared with us today. That is a man of great knowledge and great wisdom, and I hope that you're able just to glean so much of that just from the words that he shared in the last couple of minutes. Something that I just wanted to re-highlight again is that, you know, emotions are really a gift from the Lord. As I mentioned earlier in and throughout the episode, I kind of think of emotions as invitations from God or indicators for us that there's a place right here in our personal lives that God wants to help walk alongside of us through in order to provide us with the healing that we also desperately seek. It's not a bad thing to experience emotions, my friends. It's actually a good thing. So to be able to feel those, and those three E's that I mentioned as well that Dr. Mayfield mentions in and throughout his book, A Path to Wholeness, right? Being able to embrace, experience, and then express those emotions can ultimately help us as practical tools that will give us life and help us increase our mental health and our emotional health and hygiene as well. So that's my prayer for you guys, is that you guys would be able to increase in those ways and apply some of the very practical steps that Dr. Mayfield shared with us today, that you would be able to implement those in your daily lives. I don't know about you, but I cannot wait to read that incredible resource. Again, coming out May 9th. You can actually pre-order it now, but then you can get it in any bookstore that sells books, really. Barnes & Noble, you can get it from Amazon, so on and so forth. But buy the book, you guys, because I'm telling you, it is a very, very valuable resource that I think not only will help you in your personal life and story, but also it will help you better serve other people as well. Again, it's titled The Path to Wholeness, Managing Emotions, Finding Healing, and Becoming Our Best Selves. We cannot be fully loved until we are fully seen. My friends, you are not meant to fight or to go through this battle that we call life alone. It's okay to seek help. We all need it. We were made for a relationship. Understand that there are people out there that so desperately want to come alongside of you to help you navigate and really manage and lessen some of the stressors or the pressures or the complexities and challenges and difficulties that life has to offer, to be able to instill within you some hope and some encouragement and some motivation, and to point you back to the ultimate source of healing, which is the Lord Himself. My friends, there are people out there. My prayer is that you would act on that today, that you would go find someone and realize it's not embarrassing, right? It's not humiliating to be broken. It's actually when we come to the end of ourselves that we can be fully healed and experience the fullness of God's love that He has for us today. Everybody, thank you so much just for your time, for your willingness to join us right here. And my prayer is that you would join us next week right here on the Built Different podcast for our second episode of the Mental Health Awareness Series.